6 minutes past 12 midday. This is The Man in Line through till 1. Call 66 13 68 to have your say on whatever's bothering you today, anything that's motivating you. Get in touch. You can also text on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. So we have still 3 isolated individuals, non-community cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. And bear in mind that the first one was reported 2 weeks ago tomorrow. And nobody's in hospital. They should be close to recovering, depending on how badly they had it. But anyway, we'll find out more today, 4 o'clock. As at 4 o'clock yesterday, there were 11,469 tests on the island. 11,446 had been concluded. 23 people waiting results. Nobody was waiting for a test as at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We'll find out more, actually. The Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, will be on shortly. Any thoughts on the matter? By all means, do. Is it time for the Isle of Man to introduce speed cameras? Did you ever think we'd be talking about speed cameras on the Isle of Man? Crikey, can you imagine speed cameras? Speeding and safety on the Isle of Man's roads has been a hot topic in recent months. The issue of enforcing speed limits was raised at this month's Tynwald Written Questions. Rhiann Evans has been looking at what's been happening.
Speeding raced back into the news when a Smiley Sid speed monitoring device recorded one motorist travelling through St Mark's Village in excess of 90 miles per hour. More than 1,200 drivers were clocked at least 20 miles per hour over the limit in just 1 week, leading to calls for more to be done to tackle and particularly enforce the speed limit. In response to the St Mark's issue, Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker said the culture of speeding on Manx roads needs to change.
We absolutely, as a community, need to embrace this as an issue. But as the example showed, you can set whatever speed limit you like, but people have to abide by it and there has to be enforcement.
This week, the Department of Infrastructure confirmed it's considering a trial of speed cameras on the island. No location for the trial has yet been identified, but the equipment would be in areas where there would be a clear and meaningful benefit to the island's road safety, according to the department. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse believes St Mark's could be a good place to start.
Possibly the town's come to trial them, and St Mark's is one area where it could happen.
It all follows approval of the island's road safety strategy in January last year, which is designed to cut serious and fatal crashes on Manx roads by 40% over a 10-year period. Middle MHK Bill Shimmins was the only Tynwald member not to support that plan, as he wants to see more 20 miles per hour limits in urban areas, something he raised again before the summer recess this year. The issue is due to be revisited by the island's parliament next month.
So, speed cameras on the Isle of Man. I just wonder how that sits with you. Do you think it's time that we had them? Because there was one famous speed camera at Balaff Bridge, which came to a fiery end. How would local authorities feel about having fixed speed cameras trialled in their area? We've been finding out from various commissioners. Donna Mercer has been talking to Vivian Quain, Deputy Chair of Lazare Parish Commissioners. Vivian says there are problems with speeding in Sulby, and not just on the Sulby Strait, actually through the middle of Sulby.
We do have a couple of areas, quite amazing. I wouldn't say over speeding, but they don't stick to the speed limits. Going up Sulby Glen towards Salty Will, there's an area there that people are reported to be speeding, but we haven't found out much about that at the moment.
I suppose they're quite different environments, because up the Sulby Strait is obviously a well-known place come tea time for going quickly, whereas up towards Thalty Weald, quite a windy road, so quite a different problem.
Yes, it is, but I don't think it's so much motorbikes at the moment. I think it's cars going first thing in the morning to work.
And do you think that speed cameras are the answer?
Well, I consulted my colleagues on the commissioners, and I would say it's a case of 3-2 for speed cameras. To trial them, I think that's the way to do it, to trial it somewhere. And we would have to be consulted as to where they were going to put them, if they were going to put them down this way.
How would commissioners feel about them being trialled in the area? A view split, perhaps, on that?
Well, yes, I think so, but it's just a case of we would have to have more information on the situation so we can discuss it properly.
You're looking forward to hearing more, perhaps, from the department to see what the plans are?
Yes, I think we need more information, because it's all right saying it could be a good idea, but we don't know enough about it at the moment.
Are there any other ideas the commissioners have had to try and tackle speeding in the area?
We get the straps down across the road every now and again, and we've had the straps down up Salty Well. But sometimes the vision of speed is not what it actually records. So if it would give us a more reflective view, I think it could be a very good idea.
Vivian Quain, that was, from Lozère Commissioners. Jane Glover is chair of the new combined authority of Arbury and Rushen.
Yes, we discussed it at our board meeting last night and very much welcomed the idea. Going back in time, we had a public meeting last November, and the topic of speed cameras cropped up during that meeting, at which the Department of Infrastructure and Highways were present. So really, we've sort of flagged it up way back in November. And going back about a month or so, actually, a company from England approached myself, offering services and software for such devices, which we passed on to the department. So it's a coincidence, but definitely it's a positive step in our opinion. We had our, we'll call him Frowny Sid, stats in from 2 weeks ago. 70% of the traffic travelling through Colby was over the speed limit. So it's definitely something that is on the minds of parishioners.
We saw some similar figures from a study not that long ago in St Mark's. So from what you're telling me here, it sounds like there's quite a parallel case study through Colby then. A lot of people breaking the limit.
Yes, I would actually say, and I have stated this before, that we feel it is a national issue. And I was pleased in a response from Minister Baker that he is keen to actually address the issue.
Do you feel that fixed speed cameras are the answer on their own, or is there more to this?
I think there's a lot more to it. I think you need to look at road infrastructure. If you look at Kirkmichael and the changes that they're making there, they have made some changes through the village of Ballabeg. Slightly controversial, but they have implemented them. So I think it's not just the actual cameras themselves, it's the infrastructure, it's the education of road users. But definitely there seems to be at the moment an attitude of, I'm not going to be caught, so I'll get away with it.
I just wonder what your thoughts are on the matter. Do you think it's time that speed cameras, of course there is the overshadowing spectre of the nanny state or Big Brother, and something we've talked about many times on the island, the vast majority of people don't speed. The vast majority of people drive carefully, drive safely, and observe the speed limit. It will always be the outliers, the same people that maybe drop litter, the same people maybe that think that self-isolation isn't for them, the people who just think it doesn't apply to them, so it doesn't really matter, and heck, it's only 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, who cares? What's your thoughts on the matter? Lots of texts in so far. I think we should keep the borders back to the borders now. I think we should keep the borders the same. When the China virus comes back and if we lose control, we should just protect the over 70s and the care homes and not have a lockdown. It will be madness to trash the economy when it's just a little flu to 99.7%, says Matty. We should ring-fence the care homes. Hi to Julian Tier, always listening. Thanks for the COVID update. Hi, Julian. Does anybody know what's happening with the promenade, the Summerland side? Are they really leaving the sections they've finished in the state they're in? The horrible red tarmac looks uneven and broken at the edge. The pavement's still just filled in with what looks like sand and generally looks a bit shabby, unkempt, bit of a mess. Surely that's not what we paid the money for. If so, I stand by my comments that it's a rip-off. Well, do you think it's finished? I don't think it is. There's plenty of time to go yet, 7 months at least before it's finished. I don't want speed cameras on the Isle of Man. There are some drivers who pose a real danger to other road users and to pedestrians as well. It always makes me laugh when drivers immediately attack speed cameras, says PJ. It's that they'll only make money and they won't promote safety. Well, PJ says, they won't make a penny if everybody obeys the law. It's only a couple of miles per hour over the limit is what I keep hearing. Well, if you knock someone down at a crossing, will they just say, well, it's only a couple of metres past the line, it's only a broken leg? Local authority support for speed cameras depends on who gets the money from the fines. Well, if you accept the principle that there will be a fine if someone is, and these modern-day speed cameras can actually take a photo and immediately send that photo back to a central processing unit who will send a letter out and a photo of you breaking the speed limit or somebody breaking the speed limit. Easy as pie to do that. The technology's there. You don't have to go around collecting, Polaroids of it all. It all happens automatically. So that day, the moment you speed, the letter can be generated, the photo will be sent out, and the money. So who gets the money is another matter. So would it be the local commissioners, if they're paying for the camera, that is? Would it be a Department of Infrastructure, the people who are looking after the roads, or would it be Treasury? Well, that's to be argued about later, just whether or not you accept the fact that we should have speed cameras. And indeed, if you accept that there's a problem with people speeding. Roll on the nanny state. I suppose the DOI will raise the money for vanity schemes. Well, Cliffy, it depends where the money goes. I mean, if the money went to commissioners, would that be a bad idea? Because if you're spoiling somebody's area by speeding in their area, if the money, that's just say £100 a ton, let's just say 10 people a week broke the speed limit and got fined £100 each, that's £50,000 a year for the commissioners. Would that be a good idea? I think you should have speed cameras on Vicarage Road. It's like a racetrack on the road, said Hilda. Vicarage Road, a.k.a. the Outer Ring Road in Douglas. I think it would be better focusing efforts on teaching young male drivers, says A, that they're not an extra in the Fast and Furious movies. There's always young male drivers with their 15-year-old girlfriends in the back that seem to cause the issues. The parents need to do their jobs better also. Last time they had a speed camera on the Sulby Road, didn't it get set on fire? Balaff Bridge, I think it was. Is it being sexist to say it's always young male drivers? It could be young female drivers. It could be old male drivers or old female drivers. We're generalising, but of course a camera won't distinguish between young, old, male or female. Has the claim that somebody went through St Mark's over 90 been independently verified? Sounds like somebody's making it up. Sounds very unlikely. Well, they had something there that did it. They had a registering device. Instead of fines for speeding, why don't you just impound the vehicle for a week or more? Would that make more sense? Put speed cameras at the black accident black spots. That's what they should be concentrating on. No point other... it's not only the outliers that are speeding, it'll be the outliers getting the speeding tickets too, says our correspondent. Here's one in that said, we're moving slowly but surely towards a completed surveillance state. T, you're a bit late. We're there already. If the big companies or the government want to know anything about you, they'll probably know it already. Has there been a rise in traffic accidents? No, we don't need speed cameras. I'd like to see how they'd enforce speed limit fines during TT week. Maybe this is more about getting a new revenue stream from speeding fines. I would have thought we'd have more serious issues that need to be solved. Speed cameras, well, the concept of people breaking the limit, breaking the law, indeed, been around for a long time. Speed cameras are another way of the government making money. Well, there is no such thing as government money, of course. It's public money. It's your money. So the government don't make money. The money goes surely to the public good. So let's... Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just when you mentioned there about the photographs, etc. Our daughter lives across. She was photographed being over... not over the limit, but in a car park. But how many times have you seen in the papers and on the television, etc., where you have a lawyer that's contesting the fact that somebody's driving or they weren't driving? It's fine. They put the cameras up. and they call them cash cows. And I've seen an awful lot, not only young men, but young women as well, flying around, and they should be fined. I'm not against that. But is the legislation in place within the Manx parliamentary system to introduce these, to use the system as a means of fining people? Do they have the legislation? Do they have the proper system to argue the fact that who was driving and who wasn't driving? It's a whole can of worms that's going to open up with these speed cameras.
Well, there's a famous famous lawyer in England, isn't there? The man who can get people off...
Mr. Loophole.
Yeah, Mr. Loophole, who can do that. I mean, it would be a bit more difficult in the Isle of Man because it's, you know, if everybody knows everybody on the island.
But there again, it's only it's a camera, it's a picture, and you don't go and ask the neighbours, did you see Johnny driving his car yesterday? You know, would they go outside and if the pitch is not crystal clear, then there's an element of doubt, and that's what these lawyers will live on. And next thing you know, they'd be introducing the no win, no fee. I know it's not legal on the island at the moment, but who's to say it won't be?
Well, I wouldn't have thought, the concept of no win, no fee on the island, I think, will be very much contested by the legal fraternity here.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's one of those finer things that's kept with the borders being shut. Keep the no win, no fee very much off the island.
In principle, Howard, though, do you think it's a good idea that we should introduce speed cameras?
Fixed speed cameras are allegedly and known well as being cash cows. The police have a suitable radar, and they can go out, and that's what we're paying the our rates and taxes for, is to ensure the police, not to have a pole standing there taking photographs. And send it out immediately then, and you have to contest and prove that you weren't the driver of the car or vice versa. And this is where, as I say, it's a whole can of worms that can be opened up, and it's going to be a little bonus for the lawyers. It's not going to solve any problems. I wholly agree there are a lot of people on the island that are speeding. But regardless of whether you put a speed camera there or not, they'll see, and being on the island, they'll know exactly where it is, and they'll get a couple of hundred yards past it and stick their clog down again.
Howard, thanks for calling us today.
Okay.
All right, good to talk to you. Text, email, or you can give us a call. In fact, actually, I know what we're going to do. Right now, we're going to have a completely unrepresentative straw poll on the Man in Line today, and you need to just text or email your name and where you're from. Speed cameras, yes. Speed cameras, no. The concept of speed cameras, well, the commissioners are saying, some commissioners are saying, now let's get them tried. In Colby, people are sick to the back teeth of people whizzing through Colby. Sulby Strait, happening. Vicarage Road, happens. And it's not just open roads. If you live on a built-up housing estate, how many people actually drive to the limit through a housing estate? What could happen if a child walked through the gap between two cars and somebody was just doing 10 miles over the limit? What would happen? So, Man in Line poll time. Speed cameras, your name, your location, speed cameras yes, speed cameras no. 25 past 12. David Ashford, Health and Social Care Minister, is next.
There's never been a better time to move your current account to HSBC. Switch in just 7 working days to any HSBC current account with the free current account switch service and receive a £150 welcome bonus. Search HSBC current account or ask about switching to HSBC at your local branch.
offer ends 30th of October 2020. Visit the HSBC website for full terms, financial and eligibility requirements. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme.
Join us for festive lunch and dinner throughout December. Perfect for the family, the work do, the catch up with friends and the weekend getaway. See menus and book at manninhotel.in. Christmas at the Manin Hotel.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
If it's made of metal, we can make it. Visit the island's premier steel suppliers and fabricators and see what we can do for you.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals, A&B Metals.
Attention, please. Attention, please. The Landlord's Registration Bill is coming, bringing more regulation, more red tape, more expense, as well as heavy fines for non-compliance. If this is something you want to avoid, or you want to sell up and move on, we can help. Prime Real Estate provides hands-free property management as well as property sales, releasing you from stress and hassle. Help is here. Call 616 707 and enjoy life. Prime Real Estate, 616 707.
A blissful night's sleep, the kind you can only get tucked up in the most luxurious bed, floating away on the most luxurious mattress. Somnus beds are handcrafted and finely tailored for exceptional comfort and support, and they're only available from Lifestyle Furniture. Pop in and try a Somnus bed for yourself. If you drift off, well, we completely understand. Lifestyle Furniture, open 7 days a week. Find us at Snugborough Trading Estate.
Listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Manx Radio.
Look at that time, 28 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Just a quick word about a dodgy company that's touting its services. A fake company using an address in Douglas that doesn't exist has been offering investment opportunities and asking for money up front. Alaman Financial Services Authority is warning that Jamie Philip Azapardi, or a company called Pardy FX, is around, and you could be a victim of fraud. Look out for Jamie Philip Azapardi or Pardy FX. This is a fake company using an address in Douglas that doesn't exist, offering investment opportunities and asking for upfront payments. If you are approached by Jamie Philip Azapardi or Pardy FX, put the phone down and call 631212. Call the police. So our poll is on text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. Your name, your location, speed cameras yes, speed cameras no. Coronavirus levels in the UK seem to be on the rise, and many people are worried about what that means for travelling from the Isle of Man. What does it actually mean travelling to and from the island? When government moved to level 4 of the border framework, the infection rate in the UK was 1 in 3,900. The latest figures from the UK ONS, the Office for National Statistics, show it's 1 in 1,400. Was 1 in 3,900, now 1 in 1,400. The Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, says he doesn't expect to step back to level 5 of government's border framework anytime soon.
From the time when we did our border framework to the figures you're quoting now, the Office for National Statistics has actually changed their base modelling. So the actual formula behind how they do the calculation has actually changed. Mm. So that was, so the figure we were using at that time wouldn't be the figure now anyway. But also the ONS survey was only one of other measures. So our other measures that came with decided whether or not we were going to move between the stages was there infection on Ireland? What were we re-identify and coming back on Ireland, and those measures at the moment all still remain green. The way the calculation worked, so I'm not a mathematician, I haven't been able to go back and do the maths on what it would be now, but I know initially when they had that big change where they went from saying they were 1 in 3,900 and it suddenly went to being 1 in 2,200, that was actually the point at which they changed their calculation. So it actually did have quite a big impact.
So you're not worried about us having to move back to level 5 of the borders anytime soon?
Not at the current moment. Obviously, I know people are nervous mm-hmm. because we've had these three cases identified. But again, I need to emphasise it's three cases in isolation. It's people who haven't been out in the community. We've got no community transmission that has been identified. And that is basically the game changer. It's community transmission. Just like at the very start of the pandemic, when we had people travelling back into the island who are identified cases but isolated, it's the community transmission case where we don't know where it's come from, that's when we need to start looking at measures.
Something that's coming today is this potential 2-week lockdown over the October half term in England. How would that affect us theoretically and our border framework?
Well, obviously, if people are travelling into the UK and if they are going to go for a national lockdown at any point, then obviously people have to abide by the rules of the country they're going into. That's the same with any form of travel. So if people are travelling into the UK during lockdown, then obviously they will be restricted on what they'll be able to do.
And we'll have more from David Ashford, MHK, as the day goes on Manx Radio. But that's the way it stands. And of course, if there is going to be a lockdown in the UK, that will affect all sorts of people. Tune in on Sunday, by the way, at 12 midday. Donald Merce will be on with Perspective, looking at going back to university. Manx students going to university in the UK and further beyond. Dolan's got lots of people to talk to, and the perspective on going to university when there are different rules in the UK and beyond, in Ireland, in Northern Ireland and elsewhere. That's Sunday, this Sunday, 12 midday, Dolan Mercer with Perspective on Manx Radio. Any thoughts on where you live on the island? Have you spotted more speeding over the years? Are people speeding more? Are they speeding less? If there is... Grant dropped a note. Grant's got it all worked out. He's got a table of penalties for this. Anybody who goes 5 to 10 miles per hour over the limit, this is if it's caught by a camera, 5 to 10 miles per hour over the limit, a fine of £100. Anybody who's 10 to 15 miles per hour over the limit, £100 and 4 points. And anybody who does 15 to 20 miles per hour over the limit, 4 points, £100 fine, car impounded for 28 days, £1,000 to get it back. I'm not saying Grant's an accountant, but you never know. A couple of points. If you don't speed, then the cameras won't affect you, says our correspondent Phil. More importantly, it will make the roads safer. We need to make the roads safer. I'd love it if they put the Southern 100 on the TT game. It'd be great, just like this. James in Castletown, he played the TT game. The myth that the COVID only seriously affects care home residents must stop. Younger people might not die, but the weeks they spend taking up an IC bed, of course, will affect everyone on the Isle of Man. Do the fines go to the police, says Noddy. If you don't like someone, just put their number plate on your car, then go past a speed camera at speed. Who don't you like enough to do that, I wonder? Why is speed camera such a taboo? Why it needs real police with speed guns? Simple, why waste thousands of pounds? Tailgating should be illegal too as well, in my opinion, says JK. If people can't drive within the speed limit, how did they ever pass their driving test? Your car's speedometer reads higher, apparently, than you're actually going, does it? And the speed cameras are set higher than the real limit. So you have to go significantly faster than the limit before you set off. I just wonder, by the way, if you drive a vehicle, take a look at yourself. Have you ever gone slightly above the limit? Have you ever been racing to the airport or to the sea terminal and just thought, it's only 10 miles? Speed cameras are needed on the Jerby Road in Ramsey as soon as possible. What nonsense COVID is a risk to everyone in an at-risk category. Overweight people, elderly, the people who have pre-existing conditions, people who've had an operation, mothers who've just given birth. If we go by that logic, then all of the categories and more would end up with COVID and the death toll would rise. The only reason it's as low as it is because of the lockdown and precautions. We need to grow up also. On the point of the last message, it's always the newly passed R-plate male drivers that cause me any issue on the roads. Well, that and builders. Oh, no, don't start. Not with builders. 70% of cars that go through Colby over the speed limit, but how many accidents are there? If there are no accidents, regardless of these people speeding, then surely the limit is too low. Yes, there have been some dreadful incidents, but how do our statistics compare for incidents and involve anyone other than the single vehicle? How many accidents island-wide involve other people? The individuals who run out of road won't be impacted. Also, some of the worst drivers, I think, are the older drivers or the middle-aged. Driving in my daughter's car with R plates on was an eye-opener for just how bad people drive. I say no to speed cameras. We've got a poll going on at the moment. Your name, your location, speed cameras yes, speed cameras no, as there is a call for speed cameras to be trialled. And PM says, Andy, is there any record of accidents on the roads currently being mentioned in the areas the speed cameras are proposed to quantify their use? Joe said Ballyfesson Road needs one. I was doing 30 miles an hour and somebody overtook me. There is that saying, isn't there? Speed limit is a limit, not a target. Government needs money one way or the other. If they can raise it from an optional tax on speeding drivers, it means less will be needed from law-abiding people. If you accept the principle, the fact there will be a fine, who it goes to, of course, is something that could just be sorted out later. It could be part of the fine goes to be a levy, could be goes to the DOI road maintenance budget, could you can decide where it goes to. I just wonder whether you accept the principle that we should have fixed, permanent speed cameras on the island. I think they need to rationalise speed limits. In too many places, the delimited areas are only 200 to 300 yards long. The old Castletown Road through Santon is one example, says Ross. Text on 166177. You can email studio@manxradio.com. Back to the bank closures, of course. Today, about now, everybody's mustering in the square in Castletown to present the petition at 1 o'clock. We have a reporter in Castletown, and as soon as we hear from them, we'll be telling you all about it. The bank closures, this is part of an agenda to remove cash and to force the population, that's you, by the way, into a cashless society. The banks and the authorities want a full log of what people buy, sell and exchange. They also want to know where we've been, what we bought. Private money doesn't follow their agenda. They want to stop free enterprise and anyone to exchange. I think it's a bit Orwellian. Well, everybody seems to be following them because more and more people are doing banking online. More and more people are using contactless and cards, cashless, if you like, compared to 10, 20, certainly 30 years ago. Speed cameras are the future. The police don't have the resources to be able to go out regularly with speed guns. Also, let's have parking controllers 7 days a week. People think it's okay to park anywhere after 6 o'clock. Break the law and pay for it, says Ian. Thanks for that note, Ian. And while on the subject of that, certainly parking, I always get notes in from people who send photos to me. It's very nice of you to send photos of people who park badly. It followed, I think it was last year, I was talking about, I've got a personal pet peeve, and it's anybody who parks in a disabled bay, a disabled space, who isn't supposed to be there. Have you ever heard of anybody being fined for parking in a disabled bay? And we're still getting lots of moans about the fact that people can't listen on smart speakers off the Isle of Man. I did mention it earlier on this week, and we're on to it at Manx Radio. This is due to a company called TuneIn in Silicon Valley in America. TuneIn to remove Manx Radio from its services in the UK and elsewhere. They did it following a court case brought by some record companies who said TuneIn were acting as a kind of music company. It's the app that lets you listen on a smart speaker, so it's through Sonos and Alexa. You can still get Manx Radio, by the way, in the UK on laptops and phones by going via something called Radio Player. Now, at the moment, we're contacting TuneIn in California just to say, look, they've taken Manx Radio off because they say Manx Radio is not a UK radio station. Well, obviously, the Isle of Man isn't in the UK, but Manx Radio liaises with UK organisations. We pay all our intellectual copyright material, PRS and PPL, for playing music. We pay that into the UK PRS and PPL. We're also regulated in terms of our frequencies via Ofcom so that we don't interfere with anybody in the UK and they don't interfere with us. So we're signatories to the Wireless Telegraphy Act 2007 and 2016 as well. So we are in touch. We also are members of a company called Rajar, which monitors radio audiences, and we're a member of a UK industry body called Radio Centre. So we pay all our money to UK organisations and regulators so we fit in with the British Isles, but they've taken us off TuneIn. They've taken off every radio station on the Isle of Man from it as well, and ones from Jersey and Guernsey as well. So we're all trying to get it all sorted out. So if you used to listen to Manx Radio in the UK on Alexa or Sonos, and we have lots of expat Manxes, particularly down in the Iberian Peninsula, who are listening to us, we're working on it. We're trying to get it. We have been in touch with Silicon Valley, and we're trying to get all that sorted out. So hopefully as soon as possible, we'll be back on Alexa and Sonos in the UK and elsewhere. Andy Wins, the nation station,
makes radio. Big weekend coming up, of course, as well. We're broadcasting live from the Isle of Man Food and Drink Festival all weekend long. Going to be there? Manx
Radio. The Isle of Man Food and Drink Festival is going ahead this year. Come to the Villa Marina Gardens on the 19th and 20th of September and enjoy the wonderful local produce, cooking demos, bar, live entertainment and more. And this year, enjoy entry for just £2.50 for adults. Under 16s go free. The whole family can enjoy the Isle of Man Food and Drink Festival 2020. Buy your tickets on the door and visit ionfoodanddrink.com for more. Sponsored by PokerStars and in association with Manx Radio.
Most worthwhile things in life need care right from the start. At Moore Stevens Business Sense, we know that from experience. We've coached 150 startup businesses. Our suite of services supports the very personal needs of those courageous individuals who set out in businesses of their own. Yes, we're part of Moore Global, operating in more than 110 countries, but we understand that big or small, business requires the personal touch. Trust us today to take it personally when you call on 662020.
Heritage Open Days are back. Celebrate the Isle of Man's outstanding heritage, history and culture with over 80 free guided walks, talks and events during the island's biggest heritage festival. Taking place during the first two weekends of October, Heritage Open Days is the perfect opportunity to explore unique places and spaces up and down the island, including some you may have never seen before. Find out more at manxnationalheritage.im.
Rachel and Tim of Island Hearing in Port Erin are delighted to be open and taking appointments again for all aspects of hearing care, including specialist hearing tests and earwax removal, helping you to reconnect to your life during these challenging times. Please be assured that we are here to take care of your hearing in a safe and caring environment, with home visits available if necessary. Please call Tim or Rachel on 830 722 with any questions or to make an appointment.
Would you like a lifetime guarantee for any defect for the life of your vehicle tyres? Then it has to be Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. With free puncture and pothole tyre warranty with Toyo, Michelin, BF Goodrich and Maxxis Tyres, you can take control of buying tyres and arranging vehicle servicing when you visit tyres.im. Book in for tyres or fixed price vehicle service or warranty approved servicing at tyres.im. Open 24/7. Quayside!
Never before have I seen such natural beauty. Yards of luscious green grass to my right are bordered by beds of tall sunflowers as graceful, aromatic lilies embrace the sunshine. hugging a majestic wooden structure, looking wisely over its kingdom. This garden could be your reality. The Southern Home and Garden Store showroom is now open 7 days a week. Visit the showroom on the Balthane Estate or view Southern Home and Garden Store on Facebook.
It's another staycation weekend here on the Nation Station, and this time we're focusing on the north of the island.
We could be sending you on a two-night stay for two at the Ginger Hall in Sulby, including a meal and a bottle of wine on one of the nights. To be in with a chance of winning, just listen out all day Saturday and Sunday to play our winning weekend wordplay. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend here on Manx Radio, the staycation station.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
It's 14 minutes to one. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Oh, terrific. It's a lovely day, and let me tell you, gorgeous.
Bit windy out there, but I think we can stand up. Andy Grant that texted you in. Or emailed you in.
Oh, yes, he'd got it all worked out.
Do you know what? I think the man has... I'd never heard so much sense spoken. You know, I mean, there's a guy who's worked it out, and he's absolutely right. I would go a step further than that. If people don't pay their fines, that's fine. You know, you're going to go and tax your car. But when you go down to tax your car, it comes up with tax £200. No, last year it was only £140 or something. Yeah, but you didn't pay your fine.
Oh, yes.
So you want your tax disc, it's going to cost you £200. And then, of course, oh, well, I'm not paying that. Well, OK, but then you haven't got insurance, you haven't got a tax disc, so therefore you can't drive the vehicle.
Right.
I mean, with the electronic age that we're living in now, Andy, all these things are possible. The reason that there aren't police doing it, and I'm surprised at the amount of people that you know, think that the police should do it, we haven't got enough police officers to stand on street corners or whatever doing it. They've got to work shift work the same as other people have. So they only have so many officers on a shift, and they've got to cover the Isle of Man.
So do you think we should have fixed speed cameras?
I think that we should have fixed speed cameras, and I'll give you a for instance. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, no, no. I was actually on the commissioners in Maloo when this happened. We put a traffic sensor lead across the road. Now, there were three. One went across Bridge Road, one went across Airport Road, and the other went across Mount Douglas Road. And on all three, we found that there was a percentage, quite a fair percent, I'm talking about 3 or 4% now, of vehicles between the Whitestone corner and the entrance to the Clockvane Estate doing more than 70 miles an hour.
70?
One guy was actually doing 110 mile an hour in that short stretch.
Between the Whitestone and Clockvane?
Yes. What, a distance of about a couple hundred yards, 300 yards?
Is that right?
Yeah. And when he was approached, which he was approached, and he was fined for it, he said, I was in a hurry. Now, Andy, you imagine from the Whitestone to Clockvane. You've got a school there. You've got bus shelters there, either side the road. You've got a pedestrian crossing there. And yet they go doing speed limits like that.
So do you think we're past the debate, David? Do you think it's just time to do it?
I think, I don't honestly feel, Andy, that there's any need for a debate. I think that the cameras will do all the debating for you. And I think that the cameras will also sort out the men from the boys. It's all right saying, yeah, you get 200, 300 yards past the camera and then you put your foot down. Well, the next answer to that, which don't mark where the cameras are.
Right. Okay, David.
Okay, Andy.
All right, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us today, David. Here's Charlie with us now. Hello, Charlie.
Hello. Hello. The traffic cameras on the island at the moment, do they work?
Whereabouts are they?
There's Woodburn Road, York Road traffic lights.
Oh, yes, there is. Well, I've never heard of anybody getting... do they even flash anymore?
No. There's a rope put me in mind of it. I've just been an hour ago, I went up Balaquare Road to St Ninian's to turn up to Governor's Bridge.
Now, that's not a speed camera. That's just for people running the lights, isn't it?
I know. But as it turned green for me to go, two cars went through from Bray Hill.
Oh, right. I see.
So they need to put cameras on the traffic lights more.
Right, okay. All right.
So the gambling's getting ridiculous.
If we're going to have them, they may as well work, right?
Yeah.
And what sort of fines do you think? What sanctions should we have on this, Charlie?
Well, David just said the fellow was doing 100 and odd. If you're twice the speed limit, your license should be taken off you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Charlie, thanks for calling us today.
You mentioned on parking on disabled spots.
Yeah.
Come out of shop right day before yesterday. A beautiful sports car pulled up on the disabled spot part as I crossed the crossing. The fella got out, able-bodied, with a bandage on his wrist. And I said, oh, you got a disabled sticker for a sprained wrist now, do you? He ignored me and walked off.
Yeah, they always do. They always do.
But they should be done more than anybody.
Well, you would think if you get... The thing is with disabled spaces, I just think if you're going to have them, you need to police them. And if anybody parks on a disabled space, you just need to make the fine prohibitive. Let's just say £1,000.
Well, they didn't used to police them. I remember years ago, I parked outside the Salisbury and Victoria Street to go into town. When I come back, there was a sticker for parking on disabled park on my car. And the builder come out of the Salisbury Chambers. He said, they got you, mate. I said, how do you mean? The DOT van was parked the other side of the road. When you parked and went, they come and put the sign up above you.
All right, Charlie, thanks for calling.
The fine office, there's nothing in the regulations to cover this.
All right, thanks for calling us today. It's Steve's with us now. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Steve.
All right.
Good, thanks.
Good. Just a quick question, it's just a thought. Chris Robershaw was on the other day today in hotels, possibly they need to reinvent themselves, due to COVID and everything else and what have you. In my opinion, government needs to rethink their strategy as well. We own a great asset at the present moment, and once COVID is over, they could do something great, which would be to totally subsidise the steam package to get people over here, make it cheap. There's no extra cost involved, really, because it takes the same number of people to staff the ship, be it full or empty, surely.
Oh, crikey, yes. How about that? What, for 3 months or 6 months, just let people flood into the Isle of Man?
Yeah. Very much so, yep. Let them go, and that will give a real kickstart to the industry. Nobody else will be able to do that sort of thing. Maybe Jersey or Guernsey, maybe. But we've got the whole of the northwest of England to attract and get people to come to the island and actually see it, you know, in its glory. And, you know, it will give the hoteliers and the restaurants a real good sort of boost.
Steve, that's a very original thought. I've never heard that before now. So we should use the steam packet as a loss leader to get people to the Isle of Man.
Yes, very much so.
Good idea, Steve.
But I don't think it'll be a loss leader, Andy. I think it will still make money because people spend money on the boats and everything else. But more importantly, hotels and the industry, not just the hotel and catering, but also the shops and everything else affected by this will actually get income and they'll be able to pay the taxes, such as the rates and everything else.
All right. Okay. Steve, thanks for calling us today. I want to get to Jill if I can. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Andy.
Hi, Jill. You got about a minute.
Right. Living in Ballasalla, it's every time you step outside your front door almost, if you're taking your life in your hands. And I can quite believe the speeding that goes on up the Douglas Road. People who don't want speed cameras are the people who can't keep to the speed limit.
Mm.
They're the ones who don't know what that little dial in front of them is for. I say fine them. The second time, take the license away. And if they do it for a third time, take their car away.
Thanks for being with us today, Jill.
Okay, Andy.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for the man in line this week. 33% no to speed cameras. 67% yes to speed cameras. Totally unrepresentative, totally straw poll, but you get the feeling. 33% no, 67% yes to speed cameras. That's it for the man in line. Thanks to our studio producer today, HK. Next with Late Lunch on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint, and the man in line is back Monday at 12 midday. Of course, you can get in touch out of hours, 682-631 on the answer phone, or maninline@manxradio.com.